One Finance and Money Control present Personal Finance Unlocked. Download the One Finance app. Investments in the securities market are subject to market risks. Read all the related documents carefully before investing.
Hello and a very warm welcome to yet another enlightening webisode of Personal Finance Unlocked by One Finance, powered by Money Control, where we look at the intricacies of personal finance, help navigate through complexities to empower you with knowledge and skills and guide you in making informed financial decisions. I'm Mugdha Kalra, and today we will be talking about succession planning. Succession planning in the context of personal finance refers to the strategic and thoughtful preparation for the transfer of one's financial assets, responsibilities, and decision-making from one generation to the next. And without proper succession planning, financial assets and responsibilities can be at risk, potentially leading to financial instability of heirs. So how does one do this? When is the right time for it? And what needs to be done? Joining me now to answer all our questions, my guest, Lavina Lucky, Managing Director and CEO, International Money Matters. Welcome to the show, Mr. Navlaki.
Thank you so much.
So my first question is, what is the key difference between succession planning from the very beginning versus an event when it happens and in the context of then wealth transfer and financial responsibilities?
So I think it's important to recognize that while you are sort of working and creating your assets or safeguarding the assets that you've got, you also have a responsibility in terms of transferring them to the right sort of hands. And therefore, I think it becomes very, very crucial and important.
It is interesting that we talk today about succession planning having come out of a pandemic, which taught us a lot. In your experience, do you now see a lot of people becoming more aware about succession planning? And typically, people think succession planning is for the very rich. That also needs to change. And I think succession planning is also about preparing the next generation to also take forward the legacy, etc. Where do you see the Indian context here?
So I think a lot has changed with the pandemic, for sure. I think there were shocks and surprises for many, many people, including some very young people. And even older people who did not, possibly do enough to make sure that the assets transfer easily. They might have forgotten nomination, they have not updated certain KYC documents and so on and so forth. So one of the things that I think it's important, so I think it's gone beyond the rich now. Definitely there is more awareness that everyone who has assets needs to at least be aware about succession planning. So to start with, I think the bare minimum, every single person needs to have nominations in place. And one of the things that we have started to do is to tell our clients that if you look at, if they have, say, an NSDL statement, everybody tends to look at that statement to see, okay, has my value gone up or down? I would suggest start from the back and look at the last pages and just make sure that, you know, it shows that every investment of yours, KYC is registered, the name is correct, the mobile number is correct, the email ID is correct. Nominations are registered, not registered, name is there. I think that's very crucial. Once you do that and you sort of start getting a hang of, you know, those things are in control, the one thing I realize in India that happens is you have your passport in one name, Aadhaar another name, investment a third name. So I think you need to start making effort to put everything aligned. Now you can decide what is first, you know, which is the thing you want to align with. But I think it's crucial because there could be objections from, you have the nominee, but your name is, you know, whatever, the name followed by surname initial.
I used to have my maiden name and my surname together and then in another document only my surname. And of course, I got a summon. The names don't match. So I completely understand where you're coming
from. In fact, I noticed this because, you know, there was a property sale I was doing. And the buyer said, okay, and I think he was taking a loan. So they said, we'll give you the check in the name of this as per the agreement. And I said, no, the bank account is something else. He says, now I need an affidavit which says that A is equal to B. And luckily it went through, but I said, oh, wake up call. So everyone, I think, gets their own experience and then wakes up and says, oh, you know, I've not fixed this.
What are the potential risks and consequences of not having a well-designed succession plan? I think that is very important for people to understand. Of course, pandemic was one very, very brutal and rude shock for a lot of people. But potentially, if we were to list down what can go wrong, what are those things?
So I think the most important thing that can go wrong is that the asset doesn't move to your family member. Which you wanted it to happen. So for that, I think a lot of things need to be in place. You know, we spoke about the names and the nomination stuff like that, but I think having a list or somewhere there's a list of these are where my investments are. Mm-hmm. I had a personal experience again during pandemic where, you know, I had to go through many banks and branches. There were fixed deposit receipts which said perpetual renewal, and they were of 2010, 11, 12. No idea what the values were. Then there was, in some cases, joint names, in some cases, nominations. Mm. No bank accounts, only fixed deposits. And I think it was every bank followed their own procedure. The same bank, but different branches followed their own procedure. Mm. It was quite a nightmare.
Right.
So I think many of those things go wrong because I don't have a list. I don't know what the names are and I've not updated it for a while. So I think a lot of those things, I think you need to, I mean, sometimes you are the person who is in total control of the finances and the family. The questions we ask most of our clients is, you know, if you are not there, is there any other family member who can manage the complexity that you are?
Right.
And the moment it's no, then it's, you know, what are we doing to start simplifying? You can educate, but I think simplification probably the easier answer.
Yeah, you know, before simplification also comes communication.
Of course.
I don't know how many people hesitate in talking to their families about their wealth. And there could be manifold reasons for not doing that. You know, you don't want to disclose what the heirs are going to get or whatever be the reason for a lot of people not talking about them. You know, what baffles me is the fact that husband and wife won't talk about their assets.
And I think
why does that happen?
No, but I don't think it's always the case of I don't want to disclose. I think in every family, you know, you tend to have compartments and say, A will take care of this and B will take care of this.
Yes.
So you tend to say, okay, I am not stepping into that arena.
Correct.
You figure it
typical.
Out.
Yes. That.
Right. So I think in many cases when we are talking to our clients and saying we want family, and they say, you know, I've been trying to get my spouse involved, and it's not only the female not being involved. Sometimes it's the female in charge and the male says, okay, that's your jurisdiction, right? So we are saying, no, get together, at least listen to the conversations we are having. So it's not, oh, I don't know, it's a black hole if an event happens.
When we talk about different kinds of families and different kinds of sort of households, you know, you have nuclear households, then you have, of course, the joint families, then you have the Hindu joint family, then you have, there's so many things that are involved. But when we talk about succession planning as a process, what are some of the commonly used instruments? We know wills, trusts, there are buy and sell agreements, there are gift deeds. What are all of these and how are they related with each other? Because I also know of cases where, in spite of the will, the succession process was asked to be done. How are these processes different?
Okay, so first and foremost, if I own an asset and I don't want to have control over how that is getting managed after my lifetime, the will solves the problem.
Okay.
It's just that in India, in a few cities, states, if there is transfer of asset, I also need to do a probate even though I have a will.
Exactly.
So it's in only in some cities and some states. So if you have properties in, if I remember right, it's Mumbai, Chennai, Calcutta, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. is where you need to do this process of probate. So if you own an asset, that's what you need to do, right? I think the trust, a lot of people think of it from, oh, there is large amount of wealth, then I need a trust. But I think if I go fundamentally in terms of the features of a trust, it is basically I want to control how the money is managed after my lifetime.
Right.
Which means somebody else is going to run it. So it could be situations where wealth is very large. It could be, you know, wealth is large and I have minor children, so I don't, in case something happens, I don't want them to access it or the guardians to access it.
Right.
At that stage, it could be special needs children.
Absolutely.
So you know that, you know, somebody's got to take care of them. Yeah. They're not going to be able to take decisions. So it could be a variety of this. Or as, you know, the traditional, you know, there's a lot of wealth, so I want to protect it down the lineage. So marriage doesn't involve, you know, the partner taking away the asset if there's a separation. So I think in those cases, you would probably do a trust.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, a will sort of works. You can think of the gift deed comes into play when you're wanting to distribute the asset before your lifetime ends, right? So I want to move things around so that it's it's done. Okay, this part is yours,
while
this
I'm,
is yours,
yeah,
while I'm alive.
Yeah.
And I think it's a lot to do with culture and maturity of those families. I mean, I have come across families where, you know, there is going to be trouble. And then we've spoken to the client and said, why don't you speak to your parents? Or I will come and, no, if I bring you in, the other members will think you are from my side. I said, okay, talk to your parents. Saying we spoke. And I mean, of course, it takes a while to get down to, okay, now I'm going to talk to my parents. After you are not there, this is how it's tough. And, you know, the response has been, we know there's going to be a problem. You all solve it. We don't want to solve it in our lifetime. I think it's culture. Also,
exactly.
It's a lot of culture that prevents you from taking rational sort of actions.
But on the other side, it is so baffling that if you don't sort this while you're alive, while you can sort it in a dignified fashion, and we've seen it with several houses where it had gone to courts, and then, of course, the lawyers, and once the legal system gets involved, you know, everybody else other than you is making money. But those are, I guess, some of the consequences of not doing a proper succession planning.
Yeah, and you say that, you know, I want to do it in a dignified way. It may not be. It may be, you know, very, very violent.
Yeah.
So you say, forget it. I'm not watching this. You know, they will figure it out.
Right.
And it's unfortunate, but that's what it is.
Right. What are some of the key considerations while selecting a successor within a family or an organization? And how does one go about selecting these people?
It's very tough. So I think the moment somebody realizes that, you know, I want to control post my lifetime and I want to do trust, I think the biggest issue that comes up is who is going to be the trustee.
Right.
And, you know, first sort of port of call is that I'll take a family member. Then you say, I'm not so sure I can trust this person. Okay, so I appoint that person. But in case he passes, what is the formula for the succession of the trustee? It's a very tough one. So you don't know who's going to be there, and you want somebody younger, but those younger people don't have maturity, older, that person may not be there. So that's one piece. If you go to organizations, it's expensive.
And that,
you know, people are not used to thinking of, oh, I have to pay a certain amount just to, okay, I'll come and check whether everything is okay type of situation. So it's very tough. It's not an easy decision. I mean, the trust seems to be logical. There is large wealth, whatever. But I think there are lots of
ifs and buts.
Yeah.
Moving on, you know, I want to come to taxes. But before that, one question that is coming up a lot in this generation, which is, I'm a single person. I have made all the wealth. I haven't gotten married. I have no plans to get married or to have children. What happens to my wealth? Or how do I then do succession planning as a single person who may not have a nominee as well after my parents are no more?
I think it's important to have a nominee. It could be, you know, you could think of an institution, some cause that you want to, you know, promote.
But you know, interestingly, does succession planning allow a person like that to nominate somebody who's not blood?
I think so. You may need an extra document. Which you sort of register. I'm just thinking as a lay person for the time being. But an affidavit say, I am, in my hosh and hawas saying that I promote this cause and therefore I want my money to go to so-and-so.
Right.
And invariably there's somebody or the other they seem to have from the people at least we know who, it could be a relative's child, a niece or nephew. It could be a very close neighbor, somebody you've studied and grown up with and their children or, all causes. Right. I think it's a combo of that.
Inheritance tax. At the moment, we don't have inheritance tax, but there is always a buzz about ki kabhi bhi aa sakta hai. It's a much often spoken about tax tool. But there is, of course, the taxation on selling the inherited assets. What is that about? And could you elaborate on what one gets or inherits? How is that treated in your balance sheets?
So when you inherit something, there's no taxes. I mean, it's just a transfer and you sort of get the historical, normally the date of purchase and the value of purchase on that asset. So that when you sell it, you have a little longer sort of time horizon in which you can index or a lower cost and sort of things. I think there are a lot of people in India we see who work with MNCs and they have stocks of those companies. So I think while you think that, okay, India doesn't have inheritance tax, but if you're working with one of the NASDAQ listed companies and you have stocks there and you pass away, then there is a pretty high inheritance tax beyond a $60,000 limit. So there are people who are at senior positions having accumulated, I have $1 million in XYZ stock and it's so great, it's gone up so much. I said, but if I sell, I'll pay taxes. I said, if you die, you'll pay 40%.
Wow. Hmm.
So, think about that and don't just say, okay, I'll keep piling up that asset.
That brings me to another thread, which is, how important is consolidation of assets while succession planning?
Oh, it's very big. I think more and more we see this as people are getting into retirement. If I go back, say, 2 decades, people in retirement would have multiple physical assets to transfer to their children.
Correct.
Right? And so that generation grew up with, okay, this is for child A, this is for child B.
True that.
One A is in Australia and B is in New York and never coming back.
Yeah.
Right? And the asset is sitting in India. So I think we are seeing this shift of, as I get older, I need to simplify. And the simplification means that if there are things in which I am sort of contributing my patience, saying, oh, I will follow through on this property sale with that registrar and Katha and whatever else, and my child is not going to have that patience, then the only advice you tell them, sell. Say, what do you sell? I said, sell everything. No. You're not getting the check tomorrow morning anyway. So first make a mental sort of acceptance that I will sell. Because it'll be far simpler, right? So.
If we were to wrap up, what would be your advice, A, to separate age groups? Secondly, to the ones who have wealth within the company, within the family, and the ones that have like a bigger sort of a pie where there are a lot of stakeholders. Typically like a family-run business where there are a lot of other people involved. How should one approach it when it comes to talking and when it comes to readying the papers, when it comes to having the mindset? So
I think each one who owns assets should first and foremost get all nominations, check their names with the physical KYC documents, get that done and get a will done. And just write the will and sign it. Today, if you can, when you see this, okay? So that's the first thing that needs to get done. For others who have wealth and are dependent or family members who are dependent on them or they are dependent on the family members to continue, start having the conversation that what happens if I'm not there or if I'm incapacitated, how would I like this run? So at least you start sharing your thoughts because you have kept it so close and it's a big secret, yeah, you know, sitting over here and nobody else knows how to access it. For those who have larger wealth, I think taking professional advice is a good idea. Mm. Don't try and do everything yourself. And the professional advice, not just from a competency standpoint, but the fact that those professionals have had and seen other people who are in similar situations, how they've dealt with stuff.
Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Well, to conclude, personal finance succession planning is about proactively managing one's financial affairs to ensure a seamless transition of wealth, responsibilities and decision-making in line with personal goals and values. And consulting with financial and legal professionals can be beneficial in developing and implementing a comprehensive succession plan tailored to individual circumstances. Thank you for watching.
One Finance and Money Control present Personal Finance Unlocked. Download the One Finance app. Investments in the securities market are subject to market risks. Read all the related documents carefully before investing.